broken, and Rob is still dead. I write the words, and they make no sense to me. My body rejects them. The bones of my fingers splinter as they bend around each letter. But I can't stop. I don't know what I am, or who. How can I be Tamsin without Rob? And how can writing it down do any good at all? But I can't stop. Freya, March 2017. Freya was not angry. She set her phone down on the desk, pushed it away from her with the very tips of her fingers, and held her breath for several long seconds before releasing it. She was not angry at Tamsin, she repeated to herself. And besides, it was nearly 12:30. Pushing to her feet, grateful for the need to move, Freya smoothed her skirt and ran a hand over her hair. From her office, tucked away in the back, she could not hear anything of the shop floor itself, but the screen in the corner showed grey-scale, fish-eyed images of the clothes racks, mannequins in frozen improbability, and the slow hanger-flicking brows of a couple of customers. She would check the new stock before her meeting, she decided, so that she could go fully armed. But the sound of her phone caught her halfway out of the door, and although she knew it would not be Tamsin, Freya jumped for it all the same. It was their mother. "Mum, hi." Freya looked at the clock automatically, stifling a tiny, petty irritation. This was the second phone call today, but it was to be expected just now. Of course it was, and Freya sat back down. "Hello, darling." Anne Pettigrew sounded faintly relieved, as if in this last year she bore a constant fear for her daughters, as if every absence and every missed phone call was a moment of heartbreak or of terror. "Are you busy?" "No, Mum. What's the matter?" "Have you heard from Tamsin?" "Not yet." The muscles between Freya's eyebrows tightened, and she rubbed a thumb over them absently. "You know what she's like." A pause. This was where, a year ago, her mother would have asked, "Are you coming to see Rob after work?" And Freya would say, "Yes, of course." Or perhaps, "I can't tonight, Mum. Rufus invited some friends around for dinner. Tell him I'll be there tomorrow. Okay?" They both heard the words in the hissing hollow of the phone line. They both stayed silent, listening to them. It was Freya who spoke first. "She'll be there, Mum." Because the alternative was inconceivable, even for Tamsin. Especially for Tamsin.
"I meant to ask," Anne began, leaving Freya's assertion hanging.
Freya waited, watching the CCTV as a customer at the till wrestled with her purse and two bags.
"What, Mum?" Were you thinking of bringing cut flowers? You know, for his... for the grave?" "It's just... it occurred to me that we don't want too many, do we? The only... I hate going back and..."
The phone line filled with echoes again. Freya pressed the tips of thumb and forefinger into her eyes, careful of her makeup.
"I know, Mum."
She took a breath. "Shall I pop round after work and we can decide what we want to take?"
"Oh no, Freya. There's no need for that. You probably have something on."
She didn't. Rufus was on a late shift this week, and so he would come home after midnight, shower the long hours and smell of hospitals from his skin, and kiss her shoulder before falling asleep without speaking.
"I'll come by. It's okay."
She brushed a half-imagined speck of lint from her skirt. "I've a meeting in Perth, so I can stop by on the way home. But I must head to that now, Mum. Sorry." The drive from St Andrews to Perth took longer than usual, so that Freya arrived at the manager's meeting in a rush.